All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new edition of Word Bros. My name is Bob. Hello and welcome.
You didn't say your name right. See, that is handsome Bobby France.
No, just
luscious. Bob is fine.
No. It's got to be handsome Bobby France.
No, Bob is fine. I'm Bob.
No, I wanted to do like the Midnight Express intro.
Oh, man. Yeah. I see. Again, I'm more of a Rock and Roll Express kind of guy.
Man, why are you killing my dreams, son?
I'm just telling you, I would be more into being the Rock and Roll Express. When I was a kid, I had the poster on my wall. I used to see him all the time.
It's just because he had Morton had a mullet. That's why.
Wow, he had the mullet. Like he was.
It was like the Alabama waterfall. Yes. That is like
Ricky
the,
Morton like, and Robert Gibson, the Rock and Roll Express. The double drop kick was the coolest move.
But do you realize how easy that is to do? It's not like the Tower of Doom or.
That's
or
why like, it was know. Cool because you could double drop kick your friends. All you needed was another friend and
well,
some.
Well, the Midnight really Express they didn't have a finish.
Yeah, they did. Didn't they do like a guillot, like Sweet Stan would kind of hold him in a backbreaker, and Beautiful Bobby would do the elbow off the top rope, or would Bobby?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, and then you're right. No, you're right. Because It just took Bobby eating like 20 minutes to climb the top rope. So
he was a pretty good high flyer, though. Like he could go pretty far with that elbow. I remember he used to kill people with that thing. But I guess their finisher was just getting hit in the head with a tennis racket.
Yeah, because most of the time they would be losing, and then Cornette would like slide the racket in or hit somebody with the racket. Like they would go up against the Road Warriors, and I'm like, oh, the Road Warriors are going to crush these guys. And they would for like 10, 15 minutes of the match. The Road Warriors would just be dominating these two dudes. And then Cornette would come behind and mistakenly hit one of the Road Warriors with a tennis racket, whoever was tagged in at the time. And then, or whoever wasn't tagged in at the time, he would hit with the racket. So the other guy couldn't tag. Mm-hmm. And then the other guy would get double teamed and beat by the Midnight Express there so they could hold on to the belt. So, yeah.
And if you don't know what we're talking about early to mid 80s wrestling in the NWA, which would be the WCW, which got bought out by WWE. So we're talking about NWA wrestling. It was on every Saturday night at 6:05. Ran for 2 hours.
6:05.
Except during baseball season.
On the Superstation.
On the Superstation TBS, yes. That's what we're talking about, for those of you that don't know. We may have lost some people there, but whatever. Hey, today we're talking to Brian Level. You know Brian's work. He's done some stuff for Marvel. He's done some stuff for DC. He's done some stuff for Image. Brian's kind of all over the place, man, and he's a good dude. He's a good guy. He's got a lot of strong opinions about comics, so we're excited to have him on.
And I guess here's Brian Level.
You guess?
I mean, I guess.
He's here after the Tribe Called, after the Tribe Called Quest beat.
Oh, there's a Tribe Called Quest beat?
You don't even listen to your own podcast, you fucking dummy. Now, the first thing I want to do, Brian, is I want to apologize for taking so long to get you on the podcast. We've been doing this podcast for a while. This is our 39th episode, and we haven't had you on yet, but I know you're so...
Is it that many?
Yeah, I think this is our 39th episode with Brian Level. I know you're so busy with all of your projects and stuff, I didn't want to burden you with the friendship and the forced come on my podcast thing. So I'm glad you're here.
This is unforgivable. I'm glad to be on too.
Well, 39 episodes later, we're glad you're.
Well, at least I wasn't the poor sucker that was 40.
Yeah, well, no, 40 would be like a monumental episode. Like, that would be the one to be on, because then you're 40. That's a big number. 39 is just
cool.
A...
Thanks for putting me at 39.
So, Brian, it's great to talk to you.
You too. I miss you, Bob.
I miss you too, man.
I miss you too, Brian.
It's funny because Brian and I live in the same town. Like, I live in Cincinnati. He lives right across the water in Kentucky. And we see each other maybe 3 times a year.
Yeah. Usually Friendsgiving and then a con or two.
Yeah, it's so weird because, like, I could be in your house in 15 minutes, but, like, it just doesn't happen that way because we're adults with kids and wives and jobs and responsibilities and stuff. But the cool part about you, Brian, is you get it. Like, you understand, you know what I mean? Like, you know the life.
Yeah, well, I would rather see my kids than you, so there's that element. I shouldn't have pulled that one while you were pulling a drink, because then it was just dead air, which was actually maybe like a real prick. The language factor, I tend to swear, or should I really change that?
You're fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I'll do my best.
Yes, you'll be fine, Brian. Please don't worry about it. But you can
say fuck as many times as you want to.
As long as your kids aren't around. Well,
yes.
They're asleep. It's fine.
Okay, good.
I think that's kind of the whole thing with being, like, I think our kids are real similar in age to, you know, like, maybe by a year or two, right?
Yeah.
So they're kind of at an age where it's really difficult to kind of do anything but them when you have a minute to not work, you know?
Yeah.
So it, you know, I appreciate friendships that kind of get that too. So it's totally reciprocal, Bob.
Thanks, Brian.
Love you.
I love you too.
I love you too, Kevin, but, you know.
I mean, you know Bob more. I understand. Everybody does.
Well, we all have a mutual friend because I met Brian through Sheila, who we've had on the podcast too. So, I mean, like, we all have a common friend. We all know. We all kind of know each other. We're all brothers here, man. It's all we're all good. It's all love. It's
like 37 episodes ago, with Sheila. Yeah. 37.
The big family, and Sheila's our mom.
Yeah, Sheila's the best.
Oh,
she's good people. But enough about Sheila, enough about all this other bullshit. Let's talk about you, because you are a rising superstar in the comic book industry, Brian Level. You are the comet that's jetting through the fucking cosmos to superstardom, bro. Like, it's fairly impressive, because every time I read a news story on Twitter or any kind of comic news, I see your name. Brian, congratulations.
I feel like you have a Google alert set up, and that's the only news you read.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Not that good, but
congratulations are in order, though. No, man.
It sounded like he was.
Oh, I love the lag and how I ruin it.
It's all right, man. You're fine.
No, I appreciate you saying all that nice stuff. I've been working hard at comics for several, the better part of a decade at this point. And I guess I've been really, 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 really super lucky and given a lot of shots from some really generous people. So the only thing I've really done is work my butt off, and that's it. You know, everything else has been kindness and generosity and good fortune. So,
Well, it also helps that you're super talented.
I mean, that's from the
and super friendly.
And super friendly, but super talented.
And super friendly.
I've never met anyone.
Every time I see...
Go ahead, Kevin.
Every time I see Brian at a con, there's like 30 dudes, and Brian's like in the middle with a drink, like laughing heartily. And I'm like, what? Why is Level always having so much fun at the cons? And I'm like over here in the corner lonely with my beer, and there's Level in the middle of 30 people laughing. And I can name half of those comics people. I don't know the other half, so those must be the indie guys he's working with. And the other half are like the big-time dudes he's working with, and he's in the middle laughing. And I was like, I need to learn something from Brian Level.
Well, I like that. If that's where I seem to stand, is somewhere between the indies and the sort of – that's where I'd like to be forever, you know? Like, I tend to like, I think honestly, the reason that even the friendliness comes so naturally is from such a long stint and continuing career in tattooing. You know, I meet a lot of strangers and I have to be with them for hours at a time. So you just kind of learn to love people, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And kind of like just learn to care about what they're caring about. And I think that's where a lot of that stems from, is just kind of learning how to take people how they are and not really expect certain stuff, and just let them be, you know. And I think that's what, where a lot of that sort of friendliness maybe, or perceived friendliness, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm a little prick. So
I've never heard anybody say a bad thing about you. No. Everyone likes you. It's like you've managed to pull off this miraculous feat, because if you get to a place in the business where you are, I mean, you're working for the big two, you've had image books. I mean, you've been all over the place. Somebody somewhere is going to go, you know what, that Brian Level guy, he's a real motherfucker. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about you.
I'm sure somebody thinks I'm a real motherfucker.
Let's find him and kick the shit out of him.
Now, I can get on board with that, but I don't think that that's going to serve me very well in the long run. I don't know. Like, I don't really like making enemies. You know, I like people too well. And I try to give people, well, so like I'm totally an overshare. So like that's, I think, part of it too, is that people kind of, I'll just overshare, be super like, I don't know. I think people respond to that maybe a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I appreciate you saying all that nice stuff. I'm sitting here trying to like explain it or maybe disprove it or whatever, but no, thank you. It's nice to hear.
Well, you're a good dude, man. Not I've true. Always thought so ever since we met, which was what, many, many moons ago at like the Florence Mall in Kentucky, I think was one of the first times. And like you just came across as like a nice and genuine cat. So that's, and I think people just kind of gravitate. And it doesn't hurt that your work is fucking amazing. And it seems like every time I see something that you do, you get better. Like,
she was sporting a robe too, which is great.
Well, it's for Brian.
She's making me shocked.
Oh, so that's very lovely.
Oh, yeah. So now he's the nice one. I like how she's like, you're saying a lot of nice stuff about Brian. I'm gonna come in here and show how nice I am.
Yeah, I'm making him socks. You know, and here I am buying my socks from the store like a sucker.
This is
more generous than I am, so I think, and you guys should follow her on Instagram at ERNFK, making killer knit stuff.
I dig it.
Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to pump my
That's what you're here for.
Yeah.
You can plug your wife's Instagram.
No, are you going to start a new thing?
Yeah.
Instagram? Okay, yeah, you can do that.
So yeah, man. So what are you working on currently, like right now at this moment?
Well, I just finished penciling a couple hours ago before dinner. I just finished penciling a 1-page story for those of you that are familiar with John Leese and Alex McCormick's book Sink, which is like a Glasgow like horror crime thing that's real great. I contributed a 1-page short that John wrote.
That's awesome. Back of it,
which was, God love John, I committed to it a long time ago and just had been so swamped. Excuse me. I had carnitas for dinner, so I just fired one out there. I just finished pencils on that, so I'm going to be inking that. And tonight, I think we're going to probably watch TV or a movie or something like that while I work on two commissions that I didn't get finished at C2E2 like a real slug.
You're too hard on yourself, man. Too hard on yourself.
Well, I was, you know. I was going too slow, but that's fine. But then my next project, I just wrapped up Avengers Back to Basics that Peter David wrote there at Marvel.
Fucking Peter David.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
It was pretty wild. Yeah, it was pretty wild to like see his scripts, and like we had a phone interview at one point. It was just kind of, you know, it was kind of wild because, you know, I'm a Hulk fan. And I like X Factor a lot. So it was really neat to get to meet Peter in that regard. We never met face-to-face or anything like that. That was cool. But that just wrapped up. I wrapped that up literally the day that I left for C2E2, I uploaded the files to Marvel. So it's like that.
And that's a Marvel Unlimited thing, right? Like, is that the only place you can pick that up? Is on the Unlimited app?
Yes, but they literally just yesterday solicited, the July solicits has the trade paperback collecting.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. So it'll be in your LCS in July. So pre-order it if you want to. Or
don't. No, but not if you don't want. No, you must pre-order it. That's the whole idea.
I mean, you'll get it if you do that.
You have to pre-order it.
You could probably go on Amazon right now and order it, maybe.
No, LCS, pre-order it.
Well, yeah, I'm always pro LCS. I'm just saying, like, if you don't have one near you or something to that effect.
Okay, that's fair.
That's the thing that, well, because I have an embarrassment of riches where we're at. I think we've got, like, 7 shops that I could go to easily if I wanted to. But I know that that's not always the case for people. So, you know, I think however you're going to buy comics, buy them. You know what I mean? Like, all of it's good for us. All of it's good for the industry. All of it, you know, it stinks, you know, like if you choose to get it from Amazon over LCS, but you know, like however you get the comics, like comics coming out and people liking them is good for everyone.
Yeah. I agree. Even if you buy them digitally, like my wife wants me to buy everything digitally now to cut back on the clutter. And I got no beef with that. It's like Star Trek up in here, son. That's how we roll. That's how we roll. So you're doing that, and then what else is on the horizon, my man?
I also just finished before C2E2 a project called You Get What You Need, which was like a short sort of horror crime thing, kind of like, well, very surreal, hard to pin down like what the deal with it is.
It's eerie. Like I read it when you sent it to me a couple weeks ago, and I just read it right before the internet, and it's eerie. It's very odd.
It is odd, yes.
It's going to keep me up at night, Brian.
Well, good. That's kind of the objective. I'm glad you got the noise proper, too. Like, it was a tough noise to get down.
I mean, the onomatopoeia is rough in this business, bro.
If we're going to talk about onomatopoeia for a minute, I think it's the most underutilized and important, one of the most important things that gets underutilized in comic books, and it makes me crazy. Because like there's some people
I would agree.
It's nuts. Like when you look at
they
Marvel,
they hate it. They
Well, Marvel, for example, created characters that we know them by their noise. Like we have Snicked and we have Swift and we have Vamp. Like
Snicket. Yep.
We know characters by a noise. There's no reason that like we should abandon that. You know what I mean? Like that's such a beautiful thing that we get to use as a tool, and so that's something that like I'm trying to work with and think about. And try to use it to, you know, do other things. You Get What You Need is actually a really big indicator of what's next for me. So if you want to know what I'm doing, You Get What You Need isn't like a prequel or anything like that, or even a teaser. So I guess it's a teaser to a degree, but it's not like you're not going to get more of those characters. You're not going to get more of that story. But if you're kind of curious about what I'm doing, and anybody on here, if they want a PDF or something like that, you know, just hit me up on Twitter or something like that. I'll be glad to send you a PDF. I have printed copies that are like limited to 250. There's a bunch of swag, so I do sell them, but they're real limited in print. So I have no issue with sending out PDFs. But that's my next. It's not called You Get What You Need. It's something else. I can't really discuss it yet because it's not been announced. But it's definitely something in that vein. So that's if you awesome. Didn't like it, nice. then you're not gonna like what I do next. If you did like it. Or if you're curious and just like, I don't know if I like it or not, well then, you know, I think I achieved my goal.
You know? So what are you looking to do? Like anthology pieces? Do you want to be like the Rod Serling of comics here with like the Twilight Zone or something?
I'm going to be doing a lot of those in my own sort of time, but no, not really. I kind of have like when we're not around on a podcast, I'll talk to you more about it. But it's going to be really difficult to pin down what it is I'm doing, and it's kind of by design. It's kind of nebulous. I'm working with an editor that I've hired, a guy named Kenny Porter, who's a brilliant writer. But Kenny and I have been working really, really tight, and I've got this sort of vision for this thing, and it'll be coming out, and you'll hear about it. It's not like it'll be kind of coming out under the radar. If it comes out under the radar, I fucked up. I mean, I messed up. But, you know, it should be everywhere.
You can say fucked up. That's fine.
Yeah, well, it should be everywhere you can buy comics, and it should be hopefully interesting enough to people to where they want to keep coming back for a while and trying to figure out what this thing is.
Because when I read it, when I finished it today, it very much hits me like a Twilight Zone episode. It's got that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I definitely
Black Mirror, Twilight Zone, creepy.
That's exactly what people have kind of said about it. They're kind of like, it reminds them a little bit of like Twilight Zone, a little bit of old EC comics. But then there's kind of like this element of, like, I don't know if you're familiar with, now his name is eluding me. Al Columbia. Like, I've got a lot of Al Columbia sort of comparisons, which is kind of cool because I've only ever seen Al Columbia stuff. I've never got to read like Tim and Francie. I bought because I didn't realize it came out. But I've only ever like gone through and paid attention to his stuff. I've never got to read it because it's kind of hard to get a hold of. And I don't know, like, I'm just trying to do something that I don't like. I'm trying to like make the comics I want to read, you know? Mm-hmm. So leaving things up to interpretation a bit and not really giving people like that teleplay, like super tightened up, like perfectly plotted. Like, I think that shit's amazing, but I don't think that way. You know, like, I don't think in that sort of, my gears don't turn that way. They turn differently. So I don't know. I won't talk about that.
It's fun though, and if you're giving it away on Twitter, people just holler at you and ask for it. You're going to give it to them, then why not? And it's interesting to hear how people work and what kind of piques their interest in comics. Like, Kevin loves fucking westerns. I love fucking talking animals because I'm a child. You know what I mean? Like, we all have different things that work for us. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's kind of the thing is, I think there's all kinds of people that want all kinds of things. And really, I told Aaron, and I've told several people, that one of my primary objectives is to not feel alone in what I like, because I've realized like how niche and weird the things that I enjoy are. And so to find people like John Lees or Ian Laurie, who really kind of get it and like it, it gives you a certain kinship, and so it makes you want to keep making it just to even like impress your friends or make something like. But then, you know, when it gets broader and broader and people react kind of adversely or positively or whatever, like, it, you know, it's like, man, you're not alone out there. Like, there are people that like want to connect with you and connect with the thing that you're making, and that's, and whether they get what you intended it to be out of it, you know, like, that's kind of neither here nor there. Like, people are going to take whatever they want from anything, you know, like, they can make things mean whatever they want, and so I might as well just let that be and let people have it and let them turn it around. Peter Greenaway is a filmmaker and a painter that I like, and he was kind of talking about, and I've not seen a lot of his stuff. It's real challenging stuff, but I just like what I've seen, and I like what he has to say. But he kind of said about like how cinema, you can limit yourself by just sticking to just straight story. Like, if you're just worried about narrative, you can kind of limit what the thing can do. And so he kind of feels like things should be like pieces of art should be infinitely doable. And that's what I'm trying to do with comics in a lot of ways, is try, like, how can I keep people pulling different things out of this thing without giving them satisfying answers to what this or that is. And so hopefully it works, you know, and people do get something out of it and then can get something different or whatever.
I dig it. I love the fact that, like, you can draw Thor getting beer spilled on him for Marvel and everybody's happy, and then you can go out and do something like this and everybody digs it. Like, it's just, you are an interesting dichotomy, because as you said earlier, you kind of wade in the indie pool and you can wade in the big two pool, and you've kind of found balance there somehow, which is that's got to be very satisfying.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you say, like, I can draw Thor getting beer spit on him and everybody's happy. I don't know if they're happy, you know?
No, but I'm saying, like, the audience responds to it. Like, the audience can respond to something like that, and then you can draw something, you can do something like this, and the audience responds to it in a positive way. That's a good feeling. That's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah, it's definitely nice when people like your stuff. Like, there's no, I mean, I'm kind of like just trained habitually to, if somebody says they don't like something I do, I just kind of roll my eyes like, well, okay, whatever. You know, I have a hard time believing it because I'm so rarely satisfied with anything that I make. And so, like, I'm trying to get better at taking the compliment, because I'm going to kind of have to. I got to get better at taking the punches and the pluses, because, you know, I'm going to be doing these things. And, you know, the response is going to be different, because it's not like, oh, Peter David is awesome and your art's pretty cool. Like, I really liked it. That's one thing. When you kind of do this sort of thing from the ground up, then it's like all falls on you, you know, and it's like, it's a massive failure, and I don't get it, or it's stupid, or it's pretentious, or whatever, like that lands on me. So I got to learn how to take those punches, and then when people really like it, I've also got to learn to go, like, okay, I'm glad, like, you found something in it, I'm happy about that, and learn to take some pride, like, a little bit of pride in it. It's difficult, you know?
It is.
It's kind of confrontational to myself.
Now, you also did some writing for the If anthology, and that was drawn by K.R. Whalen, right? The story you did for the If anthology?
Yeah, I didn't actually...
So was it difficult?
Go ahead.
No, was it difficult transitioning from your brain, from artist brain to writer brain? Was that a difficult thing, or did you have a hand in the writing as well?
Well, I kind of
in the art as well
with Chaz, and Chaz wrote the actual script for that, and then so we kind of put the I had the idea I think at Waffle House one night with him, which I'm a legendary Waffle House.
You guy. Are.
but then Chaz wrote it, and we kind of went back and forth on the script, and I kind of played editor after I did some story stuff. But Chaz wrote that whole script, and Kareem, of course, is an awesome
that
artist.
Guy is a beast.
Awesome, he's dude. Awesome,
and he's just a good dude.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. I love Kareem to death. But as far as switching brains, it's really easy. I enjoy the process of writing, so it just naturally I switch it really easily. I don't know if it's, if it's nearly as effective when I switch, to one to the other. I have no idea, but I enjoy the process a whole lot. So it's not a difficult thing. It's kind of a reward,
Okay. That makes sense.
And it's going to be fun to write with someone who has the ability, an artist, to write, because Ryan Ferrier says that you make him a better comic book writer because of the input that you are kind of able to give. So that's got to be a nice give and take. Talk about how you collaborate with someone outside of the big two. How does that work?
Well, I'm kind of heavy-handed, for better or worse. Like today, when I did the pencils on that script for John, he gave me it was a 4-panel page, and by the time I was finished with it, it was let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4 plus, it was a 10-panel page by the time I was done.
Oh my, yeah!
it's not I'm just adding panels, I'm doing page design, and trying to do kind of some unusual stuff, I guess, on the page to kind of make it more interesting to look at. So with people in the indies, when I don't, even Peter David's script, I'm adding panels here and there and all over the place, whenever I feel it needs an extra beat. Some of my good friends, are if you're familiar with Daniel Warren Johnson,
mm-hmm.
Daniel's a freak. He's so good, it's disgusting. He's just phenomenal. But if you look at guy's panel count, every panel matters. There's nothing excessive, but you'll have 10, 11, 12 panel pages. Or guys like Riley Rossmo, who are brilliant page designers, and there's a slew of extra little blip panels here and there, little detail things. And it's that's kind of common, I think, when people get more into page design and more into micro storytelling beats and stuff, you just tend to end up with more panels. So I found that my strengths tend to lie in the small moments. When you read You Get What You Need, I think that the whole crescendo of that third page where he's having trouble in the street with his wife, that whole page almost accelerates in pace, and it wouldn't have worked if it wouldn't have had all those panels,
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the
because that signifies that more time. Yeah.
Right, and
because it signifies more time.
Sometimes if you put them in weird order, it kind of jumbles up time and makes it more confusing. But sometimes I like confusion. If you can do a lot by making the reader confused. I know that might be an unpopular opinion, and that clarity is everything. But I think rules are bullshit. I just think that they exist to put handcuffs on people. So I'm totally fine with whatever people want to do if it makes an effective story. But back to working with Ryan. Ryan and I are pretty much total brothers in comic making. We co-write things together that I'm not drawing. When I'm drawing something with him that he's writing, it's very collaborative. And I think that we kind of have this understanding where his strengths are one place, my strengths are another. and there's some things that he's so much stronger at than I am, but there's other things that maybe he doesn't see that I see, and so we fill in the blanks really well together, because there's an implicit trust in what each other's doing. And that's pretty rare for me. It's not because I don't trust other people. It's just I've like Ryan's the first outside of my friend Nick Jajic, like Ryan's the person I've been working with the longest in comics.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have a very brotherly relationship with one another.
Well, you guys did the Brothers James together, and then have you guys worked on anything else outside of that that's going to be coming out soon or anything like that? Because I mean, you guys do kind of have an affinity for each other, and you guys do seem to work well together. But it's just is the timing not right there?
Well, we have a thing that was kind of like we had a thing that fell apart. Well, that's not accurate. We had a thing going, and it seemed like a really great thing, and it was a really great thing. But we, on this particular thing that we were doing together, were being very, very we were being creatively obstinate. I'll just put it that way.
Okay.
And it wasn't gelling with what the publisher was envisioning.
Okay.
And so we decided, Ryan and I decided to pull the plug on the project.
Huh.
Because it wasn't going to be what we wanted it to be. And so now it seems that there's another publisher very interested in it, and we're kind of waiting on what's going to go on there. But, you know, if it's the same sort of thing, obviously we'll react the same way. Not out of any ill will or anything like that. Like, it was very understood, like, this isn't a personal thing. Like, we just have a vision for this project. And so there is something right now that's kind of making its way around, and it does seem, I'm not going to say it has a home because it doesn't, but we are talking with people, and we'll see how that goes.
That's awesome. And if you don't know Ryan Ferry, you can pick up some of his stuff. He's done Dave. He writes a lot of he's doing some WWE books now. He's working on Pork Chop
with Tony.
Robot Killer with Tony. So yeah, so Ryan's out there. He's got a lot of great stuff out there, man. So you should definitely.
Planet of the Apes. And I will say, if you're going to read anything from Ryan, and if you have any interest in the weird shit that I'm talking about with like, you know, you get what you need, and like some of these like more abstract things that are kind of a little bit challenging and kind of shake up what comics can do, I would highly recommend Ryan's book, Kennel Block Blues.
It's like a musical. He wrote a musical.
Right. It's insane. It's completely crazy. It's beautiful. I can't remember the artist's name. I've only seen him draw that, and he's so staggeringly good. It made me furious. Like, his layouts were brilliant. Just the execution and bouncing between, like, the sort of old cartooning to, like, the current, like, more... It's pretty much Oz the Musical with, like... It was just nuts.
Like, with dogs. Like,
anthropomorphic male shit.
Yeah.
With music numbers.
Yeah, that's awesome. Brilliant. Yeah, that's really great.
So I would, like... I think that's his, like... Thus far, that's the greatest thing he's ever achieved, in my opinion. It was such a tremendous creative success for me. That I wish that everything he did was that ludicrous.
That's awesome.
But that's what we're kind of pushing, like, when we're together, like, that's kind of where we're pushing, is, what fucking thing are we going to do that's going to be weird as hell? But not for the sake of being weird, but it's just, like, kind of turning inward and mining that weirdness that's, like, naturally in us that we don't see a lot of in common.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard because like Kevin and I are working on something that's a little bit odd, and it's just like as you're trying to pitch the thing and you're trying to go, where is this going to land? Who would want this? And you kind of go through the list and you kind of find that I don't know if any publisher would really be into this. So it might be something that you have to do on your own to get it out there, just to tell the story that you want to tell.
Right. Like, honestly, if it's truly great and nobody wants it, fuck them. You know, like,
yeah.
there's no reason to give a shit what anybody, like, asking permission in comics is such bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, that's not saying to take for granted the opportunities that you have, because they're great. Like getting an opportunity and someone taking a shot on you is amazing. Like, there's nothing that feels more validating. There's nothing more, like, value increasing in your heart. But when you spend your whole entire career asking permission to do the thing that you want to do, you'll find that you consistently compromise what you can do best for what you think everyone else wants. And that's just not healthy.
I agree.
Eventually you're not going to be getting that permission. So you're going to be like, okay, what do they want? What do they want? What do they want? And I think it's really important to realize that sometimes they don't know what they want because they haven't figured out what the market wants, because they're running a business.
Yeah.
They have no reason to tell you yes. Like that's important to always realize, is that as soon as someone says yes, there's a guy I know that works in movies, but he was like, every time someone says yes, they're laying their neck on the chopping block for you. So there's a million reasons to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the same with comic books.
And it's also interesting too, because like, as you were talking, to do what you want to do and make the books you want to make, but it's weird because you almost need the stamp of approval from the industry to go out and do whatever the fuck you want to do, to kind of build up your name and to kind of get the carte blanche, if you will, to be able to take real risks, if that makes sense. It's like, it's kind of weird because it's like you need it, but you don't.
Right. Well, you don't need it to make the thing, you know.
But if you want anybody to, but if you want
a career, to have a career, so to speak, you do.
Yeah.
But to just make the thing, you don't. And that's kind of the thing that I think that we kind of get mired up with is like, why are we making comics?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we're making them to make money and to have a career in comics, like, and it's not binary. Of course, it's a scale. But if you're making them just to have a career, then yes, do the populist thing. Like, do the thing that you know is going to sell. Work your best to get that. Or if you're making it because you need to just make art, you need to write, you need to draw, whatever it is you need to do, then don't fucking worry about getting permission and just make the thing that you want to make. Now, granted, everybody slides within that scale during different times, but it's important to recognize where you're at in that thing the whole entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, you know, like, and you got to, I think, align your expectations with those things too. But that's just what I think. You know what I mean? Like, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong.
But it is a tough sell, though, because the first thing you do in the industry when you're walking around Artist Alley and you meet somebody for the first time, they go, oh, what have you done? So it's like a weird kind of...
What are you working on?
Yeah, what are you working on? So it's like you're gauging your position on the ladder almost. You know what I mean? It's a weird hierarchy.
It is, but I don't think it doesn't generally exist. It's kind of like, it's like a gate. It's not real. Like, it's just like it's not the house or whatever. I don't know how to describe what I'm trying to say. Like, that interaction is just like surface because we don't know what else to talk about.
Yeah.
that's our common thing, you know? And yeah. So as soon as someone says that thing, we gauge them. But then the more time we spend around them, like, that all goes away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it becomes about people. And in my experience, like, I've never spent my career running around trying to meet editors and throw books at editors and do that stuff. And it's not because I did it the right way. It's because or the wrong way. I never found it to be fruitful. Like, I watched people do that, and I saw some people have success and others not. And the quality of the work seemed similar to me. So I'm like, well, what's the key? And at the end of the day, there really wasn't one. It was just kind of a crapshoot. And what I've realized is that just if I just stayed trying to be the best dude I could be and care about the people around me and try to help out my friends and spend time with my contemporaries and you know, engage with them and care about them and try to do what I can to serve the people that are creators in my peer group and in front of me and behind me, that tended to serve me a lot better than worrying about editors and worrying about other things. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does. It makes complete sense.
Because the creatives are the people that kind of fuel comics. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, and that's not saying that the publishers don't, because they absolutely like facilitate all of that. You know, they own the properties that we love. Like, they continue to put money in the pockets of people so they can continue to make these things that we love. But like, the engine is the creatives. And so if you want to stay in the machine, you know, like, then those are the people that I think are most important to pour into. That's what's worked for me.
Well, it's weird too, because it isn't, you're talking about art and artists, but you're also talking about a business. And I've always kind of, Kevin and I have complained about this, and I'm sure you have as well. And I'm sure every writer in the whole wide world has talked about this, how writing a comic script and writing a pitch are two completely different fucking animals, because one is completely creative and kind of your vision, and the other is basically a sales document.
Sure.
And somehow you have to be able to do both. Well, and it's a really it's a really hard.
It's a balancing act. Yeah.
You know,
it's a tightrope walk.
I've known creators that pay people to do their pitches for them.
Wow.
Like, because they know that they pitch like shit. But they know they have a good story.
Yeah.
You know, so like, they have a good story, and then they just pay people to pitch. I've hired an editor to edit down my outline. to where it becomes like a single page, simple, succinct thing. Like, I've done that. Mm-hmm. There's really, because ultimately at the end of the day, like, what are you in it for? You're not in it to get real good at pitching. You're in it to make the fucking book.
Yeah.
So, like I agree with you. It's like, you're absolutely trying to pull the, it's this meets this, like, doesn't that sound tight? Trust me, it's real good. Like, that's bullshit. But it's like a game that you have to play, right? But like, people, the thing is, though, is if an editor or a person that's able to take those things says to you, yeah, go ahead. Like, the quality, like, it's like a sliding scale. Like, if you force yourself into someone's sphere that doesn't really want to be in your sphere, but you still manage to get their email, yes, you have an opening. But you better blow their fucking socks off, because they never asked for it. They never asked for it at all. Now, if you know them and they're like, yeah, pitch me sometime, as soon as they get your email, you're already miles ahead of, you know what I mean, from people that they've never heard of, because like, they understand that there's a level of quality with what you do and that you're easy to work with or whatever. And so even if your pitch isn't like, and it's not fair, like on a meritocracy sort of end, but like, I know, like I know that if someone likes me, there's a high likelihood that they're going to hear what I have to say much more readily than if, like, they've never heard my voice.
Yes.
You know? It's like that with any relationship that exists anywhere at all. I have clients in the tattoo shop that I've been tattooing for a decade, and they have good taste, and they get cool shit, and if they're kind of like, I'm thinking, like, this is some of the stuff I like, blah, 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 like, here's why, or like, oh, let's shift this around, I think I'd like it better. I can trust like that shit, and I know it's not gonna like, but then you'll have like people that, you know, you've never worked with, and you're just kind of like, what the fuck, you know what I mean? It's not fair. But, you know, it's like a natural thing. Like, you don't have that relationship built, and you don't know if they know anything, and I don't know. I'm just rambling now.
No, but I mean, this is, but this is the stuff. Yeah, this is the stuff that it is. It just seems like this whole business is like, it's like a weird yin and yang of like art and business and like relationships and kind of creativity and making, and like you even said yourself, you're not the kind of guy that goes out and chases editors around, but it always helps if people like you. So there's like a balance that you have to kind of maintain, and you've done a really great job doing that.
Well, thanks. And honestly, like, I attribute a lot of it down, like, this is going to sound so stupid, but like, the fucking golden rule is real as hell.
Yeah.
But, like, if you treat people how you want to be treated, and I don't even mean like from like a bourgeois, like networking end, but like, fucking believe it too.
Yeah.
Like, every single person that comes to my table, I want to give them value, unless they're a shithead. Like, but generally speaking, like, I don't like to blow people off. If you come to my table and I've never met you, I'm still going to cut up with you. I'm still going to talk shit to you. Like, I'm still going to have fun with you. And I don't give a fuck who you are.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, you're there, and I have your attention, and you matter. You know what I mean?
Like, you took,
it doesn't matter what.
You took the time
what you fucking did.
Yep, you took the time out of your day to wander on over to my table. I'm going to put on the show for you. Like, here it comes. You ready?
Here comes the stupid ballyhoo, you know?
Yeah, here comes me being nice to you for as long as you can stand it. But I mean, that's Drew and I and Kevin kind of have the same mentality with cons. It's like, you're not there to sell shit. You're there to make friends for the weekend, whether it's the customers or your table mate or whoever the case may be. You're just there to kind of be a good person. And if you can't manage to do that, then just stay home.
Well, and, right. And honestly, like, having too much strategy can be too exhausting, and
yeah.
And also makes you worry. Like, it makes it, and it's, I don't know, it's almost tangible. Like, when those people come up that are just, like, clearly, like, there to, I don't know, like, rub your back and tell you that you're doing a good job, and then just feel, and then at the end of the conversation, I'm like, hey, check this thing out. Like, it's kind of funny because, like, I don't, like, I always have to check myself because, like, when someone says something super nice, like, I hate to, I'm gonna make a statement that's gonna sound really bad, but hopefully everybody kind of knows what I mean. Like, this industry is built on tears. And it's, who knows how many tears there are, and not tears like wah wah tears, but I mean like T-I-E-R.
A ladder tear, yes, like a ladder.
Right, right. So if
built
my
on
wrong
human tears,
right, yeah, it's built on human tears. It's built on a lot of them. But like if my,
and a lot of them were cried by Bob.
Yes, I'm very sensitive.
I think that's really offensive what you said, Kevin. I demand an apology.
What, so, for Bob? I'm not apologizing.
Apologize to me.
Here come the water words. So, like, if someone comes up to me and they would be perceivably on this sort of invisible ladder, like, at a tier that's not, like, kind of got, you know, like, there's plenty of people, I fucking hate this language, like, because it implies higher and lower. I guess maybe a better way would be more lateral, like, you know, like, if I'm on this path and I've walked further or whatever, right? Uh-huh. And then there's somebody from behind me that comes up and is like, hey, you know, da-da-da-da, like, and then they, like, I always have to battle, like, when they're just like, hey, can you read this? Or, hey, do you want to work on this? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I have, like, that instinctual, like, why do you want to get something on me? Why can't you just be my friend?
Yeah.
You know? And I have to battle that reaction because I realize, like, they still might want to be my friend. Like, I'm just being a dick. You know? Like, or I'm thinking like a dick. Yeah. And so, like, I don't ever treat them that way, but it's, like, a thing I think constantly. Like, if there's some, but if there's someone further ahead than me, like, that's one thing I always try to think about, too, is, like, if they feel that way, like, so I always have to remember to, like, never really ask people for things unless I absolutely need something.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm just not fucking interested in playing that game. Like, it's too complicated. It's too gross to me. I'm not saying the people that do it are gross. I'm saying the whole idea is gross to me.
No, the game itself is gross.
You said it. You said everyone who does it repulses your face. And you
It makes my frown turn upside down.
Yeah, like, bro.
I mean, we're ultimately talking about con politics and, like, two-faced people and all that shit. And, like everybody's fucking sins show up in the light. You know what I mean? Like, the industry is too small. And so I'm just absolutely committed to just trying to do people right. Like, and that's it.
Yeah, you know what? I think the lesson of this podcast, Brian, is just be a good person.
Just be genuinely nice.
Yeah, like, just be nice. That's all.
Like, someone asked me once why I did Follow Fridays, and I was like, because I love comics. It doesn't really have to do with who's on there. Like, it's not like a contest, which I thought was weird when somebody said, oh, I made the list. And I was like, there's a list? I didn't even know, and I'm the one that does it. So I just do it because I know these people, and I've met them, and I like them.
And that's they're cool.
That's why I do it.
Just be nice.
I do it. Because I'm trying to kiss up or get any kind of recognition. Yeah. Like, there's someone asked if, like, are you trying to kiss up? And no, I don't really care. Like, they don't have to follow me. Like, some of the people I'm telling you to follow, they don't follow me. So it's just me saying you should follow them because they're doing cool shit, you know? So.
No, you're right. And like, honestly, like, there's a thing that I hate to admit that's the absolute truth, and it's true in comics, it's true in every industry, and it's true in the fucking world, is that some people are just going to fall through the cracks, too. Like, and that is a shitty reality that sucks, that I wish that didn't have to exist. And so, that's a really bleak thing to say. Yeah. I realize that as I'm saying it. But, like, there's some people that are really talented, really kind, and could do amazing things that are just not going to get
them. Yeah.
Like, and there's things that, so, like, if anybody's listening to this and wonders what a reasonable path to break into comics is whatever your craft is, whether you're a writer, artist, you do all of them, you color, you letter, you design, whatever part of, you edit, whatever part of comics you're in, do it every day, even if it's just a little bit. Let's be realistic, 5 days a week, fuck with it, 5 days a week. Do that, work on yourself and how to be kinder, whether it's, you know, you set aside time in meditation, or if you're religious, you pray, or, like, you fucking work with the people around you and your family or your friend group to, like, let them hold you accountable to your shitty behaviors. Like, actively try to be a better person and be more mindful of how you think and how you act. So work on your craft, be a better person, get your ass on Twitter and interact with people that you like and meet new people. And hit cons. And when I say hit cons, I don't just mean like cons that are 45 minutes from you. Hit those too. But if you have to pick, start picking bigger cons. Go to Chicago. Go to New York. Go to Emerald City. Because ultimately you're exposed to a lot of people that are on your tier. You're exposed to people that are out of your tier. And you're also exposed to people that can give you work.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, like, if you want Brian Level's fucking four tips that worked for him and may not work for you,
I want this on a T-shirt. Brian Level's four fucking tips.
Yeah, I would buy that T-shirt.
So Like,
how to level up by Brian Level. I'm an expert. Look at my last name.
I'm going to be rich from this book, and I'm going to owe Kevin money. It would be pretty much like, that would be it. Like, work on yourself, work on your craft, get to big cons, and interact with people on Twitter.
Yeah.
And like that's it. You know, like, and that's it for me. Like, and take all of them really seriously. Like, it's not just like a game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, Aaron and I, like, we planned for my con trips, and this year I'm only doing two conventions. And based on what I just said, I'm sure you can probably guess the two conventions I'm going to do. Aaron did Chicago, and the other one I'm going to do is New York.
Oh, so you're not going to Heroes this year?
I can't, unfortunately. I have a wedding.
Ah, okay. Because the one year you and I drove down to Heroes, and that was a fun time. That was 6 hours of fun.
You know what? Every time I drive down to Heroes, it's been really good. Like, Aaron and I drove one time, and it was absurdly long and kind of terrifying on the way home because it was real sleepy. But like, we saw cool shit, and we had Bojangles, and it was delightful.
I think you and I stopped at KFC in North Carolina, like right before the mountains. And that
what
weird
problem.
That weird. There was that weird roundabout that we had to go through. We didn't know where the fuck we were, and we ended up in KFC. It was wonderful.
Yeah, that's not a bad place to end up in North Carolina.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like still Bojangles is going to be a better spot.
Well, you know, Bojangles are going to be harder to find, though, on 26 and fucking, you know, 75 and kind of weird spots like that, you know?
Nah, son, pop
on. On Interstate 40, bro, when you're driving through those stupid Great Smoky Mountains. Fucking, I hate those things so much.
They're majestic and beautiful.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Every time I drive through those fucking things, it's snowing, no matter what time of year it is. I don't know how it's possible, but it's bullshit. It's going to kill me. I'm going to be like the fucking Richie Valens of comics, the guy who never quite made it, but fucking died tragically, and they made an awesome movie about him.
Well,
that's my goal.
At least your kids will be rich.
Yeah.
And the tears then will be mine. I will be the holder of the tears.
Kevin will run down the hill, fucking scream, Bob! And then
no!
If you haven't seen La Bamba, kids, do yourself a favor and watch La Bamba because it's fucking amazing.
It is great. It's been maybe 15 years since I've seen it, though.
Do yourself a favor. See if it's streaming anywhere and just watch La Bamba for La Bamba's brother. I know his name is not La Bamba. For all intents and purposes of this conversation, we will call him La Bamba.
Richie Valens.
La Bamba's brother, whose name is Bob, is the fucking scene stealer of that film. He's wonderful.
His name would be Bob Valens.
His name is Bob. That's his name. His name's Bob, and just gets drunk all the time. And he's very stereotypical Mexican, but it's fucking amazing.
I tell you what, as far as like music movies, I rewatched Eddie and the Cruisers.
Wow. Michael Paré. Oh, you went with the Michael Paré train.
That's
a
great film.
I feel like it's a bad movie, but it's like a good movie to watch.
Yeah.
Like, I had mixed feelings about it. So I'm like, this thing is not making sense. Like, why in the fuck are they singing music from like an era that's like 10 to 15 years past where this movie takes place?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it is
yeah.
Very strange.
When I was a dumb kid, I didn't know any better. I thought that like Bruce Springsteen was Eddie and the Cruisers. Like, they were the same guy in my brain when I was like six. Like, I was like, this fucking God, Eddie and the Cruisers.
Awesome.
You're like, this goes for Ohio.
Dude, I mean, they're very similar. I mean, think about it. You got, you know, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. You got Eddie and the Cruisers, both kind of like hardworking dudes from like fucking Jersey and shit. I mean, it's
Courtney Cox dancing on stage with you. Yeah, I got you.
There are parallels there, man.
I got you.
On the fucking dark side.
I'm
my favorite Springsteen song.
Sorry, you know what? I forgot how much that song, like, I felt like when I was watching that movie, I was like, how did I learn all the words to this? I don't know if that was true.
Oh, man. Next time we hang out, we're going to watch the second one, because I think they made a sequel, which doesn't make any sense.
They did.
Yes.
Because he died in the first one, but not in the second one.
Yeah.
No, dude, because at the very, very end of the first one, He faked his death, remember? Like, he's looking at all the TVs and shit.
That's right.
So, well, dude, they made a fucking sequel to Chinatown.
They did, to the Two Jakes, directed by Jake. Jack Nicholson. I've never seen it because I can't bother. Like, I don't know why.
And, dude, that makes me want to die, but I'm, like, kind of, like, so curious.
Well, I mean, if you want to know something weird, I watched Highlander recently, and it doesn't hold up.
The first one?
It doesn't hold up, man.
We're going to fight.
We can.
With swords.
We have to have swords.
There can be only one, Bob.
There can be only one word, bro. We're going to fight with fucking swords on a stormy night somewhere in Charlotte, North Carolina. You and I on rooftops.
In the rain with lightning behind us.
It's going to be quite a show for the Westin bar.
I think Kevin's changing his mind right now as he's thinking about all this.
About fighting with swords? No, I think
he's
I would be
changing his mind about the movie not holding up. He's like,
no, it doesn't hold up.
Clancy Brown is amazing in that movie.
No, he's what keeps the movie together. Him and Connery keep the movie together. Without those two characters, the movie wouldn't work at all. But it doesn't really hold up. Like, I was watching and I was like, this all seems so old. It's so weird.
Who wants to live forever, Kevin? That's my question, Tim.
Freddie Mercury did, but he didn't achieve the goal.
Who wants to live forever? Well, Brian, thank you for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. And hopefully I'll see you sooner than later.
Yeah, I mean,
I appreciated it, too.
I appreciate talking to you too, Kevin. It's been nice. I appreciate you guys having me on. Hope I didn't get too spicy about anything. I get fired up about. So I guess like the last thing maybe I would say is that I get real fired up about making shit, and like there's nothing more like madness inducing to me than the idea that you can't make it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, I understand, like, if you can't draw, like, making comics, like, there's definitely a barrier, like, a pretty big barrier, if you want to get, you know, like, a good artist and all that stuff and tangle into it while finding someone that is willing to work collaboratively. But, I, you know, with we have a lot of options between Kickstarter and all that stuff now. But I don't know, like, I don't want to come off like I'm dogging anybody that doesn't, you know, hasn't made the comics they want to make or something like that. Like, that's not at all what I'm trying to say, like. It's not like the make your own comics, you fucking crybaby. Like, it's not that.
I demand you apologize to Bob.
You're like fucking.
I feel like I kind of did a good Bob impression by accident just now. And that's not the intention. That's, I guess, maybe not the intention of what I'm trying to say as much as just like waiting for permission for a publisher to like see what you see in your project.
Yes.
Isn't I think the path like that's not the path. I don't think, you know, like obviously, like I said, there's barriers and shit, and definitely publishing is one of them, but I think we have less and less and less as every year goes by.
Media is very inclusive nowadays. If you want people to hear your voice about opinions, start a fucking podcast, put it on Apple, people will find it. If you want to make content, if you want to make videos and movies, buy yourself a fucking camera. Find some actors, make your movie, put it on YouTube. If you want to make comics, make fucking comics.
And I'll, even if you draw like shit, like, look at how many people draw like shit and have amazingly popular webcomics, you know? Like, they draw like total shit, but it's like...
Right, I think you're leading the parade on that one a little too hard, bro. Let's dial that back.
No, I'm trying to say, like, it's total dog shit. You know what I mean? Like, and they win awards for having absolutely hilarious comics that are, I mean, I like the oatmeal looks like dog shit is what I'm saying. But it's hilarious and it's excellent for what it's trying to do. It succeeds at immensely. So if you can't draw, look at the oatmeal and be like, oh shit, I can draw. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I hear you.
Like, just like if you have something to do, like, it, like, I don't know, like, if you have something that you want to do, find a, like, try your best to find a way to do it, and if you can't do it yourself, like, find an avenue outside of, you know, like, publishing or whatever, like, whether it's Kickstarter or GoFundMe or Bill, you know, whatever the, or Patreon, for whatever, like, there's a lot of things, and if you can't do it, that sucks. But if you make a podcast and you start building an audience and people start chipping in $5 here and there, and you need some asshole to get on there to make fun of bad drawings at the end of your podcast, I'll pop in there and talk some shit.
Don't worry about it, Brad. I'm going to cut all this stuff out for the sake of your career anyway, so don't worry about it. You're good.
I'm not worried about it.
I'm just kidding. All that shit's staying. All of it.
Look, I'm not saying that. In fairness, I'm not saying the oatmeal's bad. I'm saying
Brian. It's just, I was kidding with you, buddy. It's just jokes here, friend. Just jokes.
I know, but you're just, now I'm painted as a villain, and I feel disgusted in my heart.
But yet you say it so eloquently, so it's totally worth it. I'm painted as a villain, and I'm disgusted.
I love that. That's a good line. Like, you actually used very writerly terms about how your villainous was coming through on the podcast.
If you put a fucking Dr. Doom mask on you, you're gold.
Brian Level is the one who causes tears in comics. That's the shirt that needs to be
picked. I just don't want, now I'm just like, oh man, all these oatmeal fans are going to think that I think they suck or something like that. And they're just going to attack me on Twitter. I'm going to get buried.
All right, I'm saying this. I'm going to get a text within like an hour going, please cut that out for me if you don't mind.
No, I'm just going to, can you bleep out my mouth when I say oatmeal?
Yeah, dude. You know what? Do me a favor. Stop fucking saying it, so I don't have to bleep everything.
Like, what cuss word comic book is this guy reading? I read some book called Pussy or something.
Brian, it's always a pleasure, sir. Good luck to you. I hope we get to see more of your creepy, eerie. What is it called again? If I want to get that, how can I get that?
Well, just hit me up on Twitter at Brian_Level because I'm an idiot and I put an underscore in my shit.
Hey, I have one too. I'm also an idiot. We're on the same train, man.
I'm sorry about us.
Yeah, I am too.
But no, you can look up. I mean, you can hit me up on Twitter. It's my pinned tweet right now. That'll probably be pinned there for a while.
Okay.
But it's called You Get What You Need.
Okay, that's what it was. Actually, I didn't want to.
There's also a Twitter, like kind of a creepy Twitter account that's linked to what's going on there. That's at Dream Street Real.
Okay.
On Twitter as well. So that's a little bit, it's full of, loaded with cryptic shit. So if you want to follow that and hit me up on, I can send the link to you to get what you need to whomever wants to read it. And pretty soon it's still available. I haven't sold all 250 copies either. So like it's got cool shit in it. So like even if you have the PDF, like there's like 3 stickers and some pins and a temporary tattoo like in the package.
So hit like Brian up.
You sold me with a temporary tattoo.
You sold me with a pin. You said pin, and I was like, oh, enamel pins. I'm in.
Because I don't.
I actually put a kitchen sink in the envelope.
Very fun. Very fun. Well, Brian, it's always a pleasure, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. You guys have a good night.
Yeah, man.
You too, man.
And that was Brian Level. Nice dude.
It was a good chat on leveling up.
Brian, he's always fun to drive two shows with. We've driven to Huntington, West Virginia, which is 3 hours, and Charlotte, which is about 7. It's always good to have him around because he's got a lot of opinions on things. He's got a lot to say. Brian's a good good wheel man. He's a good guy to have in the car.
That's awesome because like you guys apparently have all the road trip stories going on about all the road trips you have taken together.
So. Yeah, I mean, well, we've only driven to TriCon once.
Well, I mean, even around Cincinnati.
Brian and I have probably only hung out outside of his Friendsgiving thing 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
Yeah, because like I met him. I met him through Sheila. Sheila was like, hey, you should meet my friend. So then we met at the mall at like the little kid play area because we both had little kids at the time. Like Sophie was like 3. So they did that for a stretch. And then he invited me over to his house for a barbecue for the first Cincy Comic Con. And then just random peers and theirs, like not too often. I probably see you more than I see Level. And we live 20 minutes away. But like I said, when you got kids and family and comics, and it's hard, you know, it's hard.
It is hard.
Yeah. But we got a lot of good stuff coming up, man. Speaking of hard, That's not a good segue at all. We've got Dave and Scooter coming back. They'll be back next week.
To promote their graphic novel for Wrapped Up.
Yeah, that's cool. And then who else do we have on coming up soon, Kev?
Jamie Jones, artist Jamie Jones, who has done Five Ghosts with Frank Barbieri for Image. So we're all, Bobby and I are very stoked to talk to Jamie because his art is great if you have not seen it before.
And he loves wearing bow ties.
He is. His hashtag is bow tie guy.
Yeah, he wears bow ties. I wear fucking ascots.
You guys are like the two fanciest dudes in comics.
Yeah, we got a table next to each other or something, so we could just fucking
fancy together.
Who are these foreign gentlemen over here with their luxurious neckwear?
Well, it's 90 degrees out. How come he has a bow tie on and he has an ascot? Because they are fancy. Hey. They know. They know Premier Comics, sir.
Classy has no temperature, my friend. So stay tuned for that. We got a lot of cool shit coming up. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, and make sure you follow us at @word_bros on Twitter.
There we go. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.